This seminar, Praying for the Next Generation and Your Volunteers, was presented at the 2016 Children Desiring God National Conference. Kristen Gilbert serves as the Director of Children's Ministries at College Park Church in Indianapolis. Her prayer is that the next generation would passionately follow Jesus. Kristen desires to come alongside of the church body to continue to lay a foundation of truth for the next generations to build their faith upon. Kristen enjoys engaging with the children and volunteers she works with on Sunday mornings and encouraging them to fix their eyes on our one true God. To download the notes for this seminar, as well as learn more information about Children Desiring God curriculum and resources, please visit www.childrendesiringgod.org.
Let me pray to get us started and then we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we come and just ask that you would go before. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be the one that speaks through me. Open my heart and these participants' hearts, Lord, to hear your word and hear how we can pray for the next generation and how we can help them to pray to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just give them a vision to see that the next generation needs to know you and stand firm on the foundation that you have given us in your word, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me, allow it to be your words and not mine, Lord, and just, just allow us just to enjoy this time together. It's in your name we pray. Amen. There was a season in my life when people would ask me the question, what can I do for you? And how can I help you? And the only answer that I could give was pray. And that's the only thing that I could give. There are times when you are walking into a situation that you have no idea how it will turn out or how you're even going to get through it. This was a point in my life when the Lord opened my eyes to see that prayer was the biggest thing that I could do. I felt silly when I answered the people and said, pray, because it seems like an easy answer. It seems like something that everybody does. And they want to be able to do something, bring you a meal, or just be with you, or things like that. And it was, my true answer was, can you just pray for me? I know many people, and even I say, I'll pray for you. But do we truly pray? Do we truly go and pray for that person when we say, I'll pray for you? When reading through Colossians, Paul uses the word struggle when talking about prayer for the Colossian church. Prayer is not easy. We have a battle going against us. When we pray, we have to struggle through our prayers. We have the enemy fighting us. We have distractions coming in. So we have to fight to pray to give God our attention. So until the Lord had me go through the season of my life that placed me on my knees, I didn't realize how much prayer was a struggle. But he opened my eyes to see his hand work. Sometimes it's not in the beginning, sometimes it's at the end. But when you're able to see what he has done just through prayer, it's amazing. And that's what I want for our next generation and for our volunteers. So today we're going to discuss how we can struggle through prayer for the next generation, for our ministry, for our volunteers, and then at the end we're going to talk about ways that we can teach the next generation to pray and some practical tools on what we can use in the classroom. So we will look at obstacles and hopefully come away with some practical steps on how to overcome them. We will walk through different kinds of prayers and different areas to pray through. And then towards the end, we'll walk through some scripture and some things of how to pray for the next generation. As a volunteer, ministry leader, parents, we don't have the power to reach the next generation. We need God to break through their hearts. It's only the Holy Spirit that's going to break into their hearts and grab them, kind of like what Piper was saying last night. He is the one that's going to show grace and give them grace and open their eyes to be able to see his glory. So we can't do anything. The only thing we can do is pray. So I know that it is easy for us to set our days on cruise control, get into the office, find the list of emails, and go just keep going. And we completely push the Lord out. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance of all that I have said to you. So we have a helper. We just have to use him. We have access to the truth, to God, the Helper, and they're going to strengthen us to reach the next generation. But are we truly using it? Are we using that power that we have from the Spirit to reach the next generation? I want you to just stop and think. If you're a mom, or if you're a dad, or if you're even just a volunteer, I want you to stop and think. Have you prayed for those children today? Most of your kids, if you are parents, they're not with you this weekend. So have you prayed for them? Have you prayed for the children in your building, in your church? How much do you pray for them on Sunday when you're working with them? Or day to day, how much? Just think. Is it just once when you get up in the morning? Is it when you go to bed at night? Is it only when you're with them? Is that truly enough? Prayer is our only vehicle that will give us wisdom, strength, and the correct words to reach the next generation. We need to remember who we are praying to. We have a God who has created the world into existence by His voice and His voice alone in Genesis 1. Our God is the one who can measure the waters in the hollow of His hand, Isaiah 40:12. We have a Savior who spoke and healed people, John 4:5. This is the God to whom we pray. So why is it so hard to pray when we know who we're praying to? What stops you from praying?
You.
So our minds love to wander, and we have a hard time staying in one place. I know for me, when I sit down and pray, the list of to-dos just come in. Okay, what do I need to accomplish? What's happening on social media? What's on sale at the grocery store? Or what can I do next? Or how many meetings do I have today? These are just some of the things that can pop into our minds when sitting down to pray. So a practical tool for wandering minds is a prayer journal. As you pray, I use this in the morning, and it helps me just stay focused. As you pray, write it out. Write it in that journal as you're praying. This allows your mind to think and respond to the Lord and only to the Lord. It's also helpful when those lists pop up. I have a post-it note that sits next to me. Write it down. So it's done, over with. You got it out of your mind. You can move on. Okay. It's also like that prayer journal is also helpful to be able to look back and see what the Lord has done over the time that you've been in that journal. So it allows you to see answered prayers. So to help with temptation with social media, I'm tempted by that. It's like, oh, I'm a little bored, so let me just check, you know, what's going on with Twitter, even though I checked it 15 minutes ago. Or what's happening, you know, with friends like that. I put my cell phone in another room or across the room, so it's not even close to me. So don't even have it next to you. So limit those distractions that are happening. I also use the Do Not Disturb feature on my iPhone, and I have it set to end at 7 a.m., and so by 7 a.m. I'm done with my time with the Lord, and the Do Not Disturb allows it not to ring, not to buzz, not to do anything. Text and stuff will still come in, but it will not interrupt you, so you won't even hear it. So using that Do Not Disturb is a great way to limit those distractions in the morning. But one of the biggest things that I'm going to constantly say to you today is remember. Remember who you are praying to. Remember He is the one who holds the earth in His hands. He deserves our full attention. So do everything you can to limit those distractions from wandering mind. My other one is guilt and fear. Kind of like the defeated mind, or the pride is another one. So guilt, fear, and hopelessness are some feelings that we can have that can hinder our time in prayer. We can be afraid to come to a holy God. He is holy, and I am nothing. What would He want to do with me? He may not give me the answer that I want, and so why am I going to go to Him? Or you might doubt that He is going to listen, because we might be too selfish. Okay, what I'm asking for, I'm being too selfish, and He's not going to listen to me. Those are just some of the thoughts that even come into my mind. But for this obstacle, reminding yourself of the truth will help you come to the Lord without guilt, without fear, and without hopelessness. Some of the verses that I use for these is Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his way, according to the fruits of his deeds. He is the one that searches the hearts and the mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your prayer is already before you even say it. So don't be fearful. He already knows. Psalm 18, 5 through 8. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall not look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. So when I'm fearful, that is one of the verses that I go to. What can man do to me? And the Lord is already on my side. He is going to answer. His word says that it is true. For hopelessness, I turn to Psalm 37, 23 through 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his ways, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. It's just a perfect reminder to remind us that the Lord is there. He is our strength. He is going to withhold you. He is going to hold you up no matter what is coming. So those are some things that you can battle for prayer when you are feeling hopeless or fearful or just guilty to come to our holy God. Discouragement is another obstacle in our hearts that we have to battle. We sometimes think that prayer is not going to make a difference. Why pray when the Lord is just going to do what he wants? Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, writes about how discouragement, which he calls cynicism, started in the garden with Satan telling Adam and Eve, God has not been honest about the tree in the middle of the garden. The command not to eat from the tree isn't for your protection, but God wants to protect himself. These lies tell us that we know what is really going on. To battle this, we need to be rooted in his word. We need to remember who God is, use the truths that he tells us about the character of God and not our feelings or what the world is telling us. So a practical tool for fighting discouragement is the fighter verses. And I don't know how many people use the fighter verses. College Park just started it churchwide in January. And so putting the truth into your mind is what's going to be able to battle Satan. He's going to tell you those lies, and the world is going to tell you lies. And so to battle discouragement, putting the truth in your mind and having it rooted deep down in your heart is what's going to help you with those times. So I would encourage you to start some type of memorizing of the scriptures so that you have that and it can come up quickly. You're not always going to have your Bible at hand. The not enough time or being overwhelmed. So we all say, I just don't have enough time for prayer. 5 minutes. Nope, I just need those 5 minutes to do whatever I need to do. Every first Wednesday of the month here at College Park, we have a prayer lunch. Well, it's prayer through lunch. And so at noon, we pray for an hour as a staff. And I battle every single, that first Wednesday, I battle each time. I don't have time. I need to get this done. I need to get that done. I need to do this. I need to do this. Basically, what I'm telling the Lord is I don't have enough time for you. And that's something that I battle completely. So not enough time. Paul Tripp, in his book, The Praying Life, says, American culture is probably the hardest place in the world to learn to pray. We are so busy that when we slow down to pray, we find it uncomfortable. We prize accomplishments, production, but prayer is nothing but talking to God. It feels useless, as if we are wasting time. Every bone in our body screams, get to work. And that's what my body is screaming. You need to get to work. What did I accomplish today? Did I get this done, this done, this done? And then I can go home and I can feel like I accomplished everything. Our lives are so fast-paced and it takes time out of our day that we see it as wasteful to pray. If you think about what we're saying, like I said, it's we're saying to the Lord, I don't have time for you. When he is the one who allows everything to happen. So a practical tool for battling time is to schedule time into your daily time. I know this is a challenge for me, and it's a challenge that I would love to begin, and I need to have accountability for it. Of when I step foot into the office, the first thing I do before I open up my computer and see the list of emails is to pray for 15 minutes. Just put that in there, knowing that it's that's your routine and your schedule. Put it in there. So schedule time in your day to pray. So on Sunday morning, I've done this with my team. We have a reminder that'll go off on everybody's phone. Meet in the nursery at 7 for prayer. And we have people. There's 5 of us on Sunday morning that are just getting everything going before our 8 o'clock service. And I know we all battle. I don't have time. I just need to get things ready. People are coming quickly. And one person, it's somebody different each week. Hey, we need to pray. Hey, it's time to pray. It's a good accountability to remind everyone to pray. So setting that time and even making it a reminder on your phone is very helpful. I've asked my team leaders who lead our classrooms to pray before they open the classroom door. Our parents know that when the door is closed, they can't interrupt because our team is praying in there for our children on Sunday morning. So just putting it in there so that what we're doing is bathed in prayer and that the Lord would come and work through us, because we can't do it. So the feeling of being overwhelmed can hinder our prayer time. The list of emails that come in, it could be in your ministry life or your personal life that can do this. So the to-do lists at home, the email inbox, your office door is always graced by somebody or something that needs to get done that was not on your schedule. And those are the times I know when I feel, okay, I just don't have time for this. I have to get things done kind of person, so don't interrupt my day when that's what the Lord wants me to do. So these are all things that we see and think that need to be our first priority, which then pushes prayer out of our day. So some practical tools to fight that is to making sure that prayer is on your agenda. So every meeting that I have, we open in prayer. Every phone call that I call to parents or to volunteers either begins in prayer or ends in prayer. So just put it on that agenda. Make sure it's on there and that you see it and that you do it. So being overwhelmed is one of the obstacles. Laziness is the other. So laziness is a huge fight against prayer. I know for me, prayer is not my first activity that I turn to. It's not what I desire to do sometimes. I'd rather watch a movie or watch TV or read a book or check social media or text to see if somebody wants to go out to eat or do whatever else is something that's not prayer. So some of these activities allow time for us to shut our brains off. We just need to relax. I just need time to get away. Okay, that's laziness. I'm not saying that resting is not right or that we don't need rest, because we do, but prayer is hard, and that's why we don't turn to it. I'm exhausted. I just need to put my feet up. So our sinful nature encourages us to choose something that we can shut our brains off with. We can say to ourselves that we desire downtime. I worked hard today. Take a break. Relax. I deserve this. I'm not saying that relaxing isn't wrong, but how much are we doing? Are we allowing this time to take up time that we could be giving to our Heavenly Father? So a practical tool for laziness, I would say, would be accountability. So having a friend in your life that can say, what are you doing? I know I can go to one of my really good friends and say, hey, I've been watching too much TV. Or I've been doing other things other than reading a book that can help me grow me in the Lord and grow me spiritually. Can you ask me, did I pray today? So that accountability partner is huge for helping with laziness. I have 2 girlfriends that live with me as roommates. They're great accountability partners because they see you firsthand. they're the ones that are able to say, Kristen, how much have you done? Or what have you, you know. So having your spouse or even somebody that is near you and sees you a lot, use them as an accountability partner. And then schedule your time with the Lord before you turn to those activities. So make sure you get that done before you turn. You can use those as rewards. Okay, I've done everything that I've needed to today. I've prayed. I feel like I've done it. I shouldn't say done it enough, because you can never do it enough. But, okay, I can watch this one TV show, or I can be on the internet for a while. So just using your time wisely is huge. So we're going to move away from obstacles. and we're going to move into different areas that we can pray through. So as volunteers or even ministry leaders, these are some of the areas that we can pray through for help. So our list of areas can consist of resources, space concerns, training, volunteers, children, parents, your team, events, recruiting. The list could go on and on. But it's a good reminder that everything we do should be bathed in prayer. Let me just show you some of the things and some of the ways that the Lord has worked through prayer in some of those areas. So for resources, we've had special needs, a special needs department here, but it's kind of been small and kind of quiet. And so this past year we've started it and we've announced it, we've made it known to our people, and I don't think I was ready for that. I was not ready for what the Lord did in our ministry. And so it blew up. We have probably now 20 children in our Sunday school class that have one-on-one aides. We call them buddies. And so as I'm watching this, I'm becoming overwhelmed because resources are not there. We have several older children who are in wheelchairs and they're still in diapers. And all we have is infant diapering tables. And how do you diaper a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old on an infant table? You can't. And so I was praying for just resources. What do you use? What can we use? Where can we put it? And all that kind of stuff. Well, the Lord graced me with an injury with running and sent me to PT. And as I'm at my PT, he is a guy who comes to College Park Church, and we're just sitting there and we're just chatting. He goes, you know what? I have this extra table. Would College Park be able to use it? It's about 4x8. I think your special needs ministry could probably use it. It would be great for that. And the light bulb went on. Thank you, Lord. You answered my prayer for a table for diapering children that have special needs. It's a big enough table that will allow a 5-foot child lay down and help the parents. Space is another one that we need to bathe in prayer. We're running out of space, and I'm still praying through that one of, Lord, how are you going to answer this? And how is his mighty hand going to work in that? Volunteers is huge. This year, I think the Lord has opened my eyes to see that when you bathe it in prayer, when you bathe recruiting and volunteers in prayer, he works. And it's amazing to see that I have not done, we were recruiting these next 2 weeks, but over this whole year, we've had a steady flow of volunteers come into our ministry. And it's just amazing to see, I get an email when a volunteer fills out an application, and it's amazing to see that sometimes I have 5 applications in my inbox. And it's nothing that I did. It's nothing that my team has done. It's nothing. It is the Lord. And it's because we've come in prayer asking that the Lord would bring laborers, that he does that. Our children, pray that their hearts would be open, that they would hear the truth, that their spirits would be calm, that they would be self-controlled. I was able to be in our kindergarten classroom in the beginning of the year, and then in the beginning of the year, meaning like September when we start, and then in January. In September when we start, it was one of the first lessons. They're going over Jesus, what a Savior. And our teacher was teaching how we're all sinners. And mom and dad are a sinner, grandma and grandpa are a sinner, Adam and Eve are sinners. And so she did this whole tree, family tree, of Adam and Eve and from them, and then grandma and grandpa, were they sinners? Yes. And then mom and dad, are your mom and dad sinners? Yes. Mom and dad had you. Are you sinners? No. All of them said no. And the teachers were laughing and everything. And they were like, yes, you are a sinner. I went in 4 months later and she was reviewing. And it was the Lord's grace that I was able to be in that classroom at this time. And she's reviewing. Grandma and grandpa are sinners. Mom and dad are sinners. And she gets to the point where she asks the kids, are you sinners? And everybody goes, yes! Like, yes, they got it. They understand the truth. And so just praying that their hearts would be open and that they would hear the truth. And the Lord uses that. Another one is recruiting, just like I said, for volunteers. But recruiting, this is the area that causes me to surrender to the Lord completely. I wish I could say that when I need volunteers, prayer is the first thing that I turn to, but it's not. The lies come in, I can't do this. This is too hard. There's no way I can help our families. I'm done. So an example of this was with the special needs ministry, and this was just in January. I was walking down the ramp from 9:45 service coming down, and I had just had a meeting that previous week with my special needs coordinator, and she was like, "Kristen, we have 8 children who need a buddy, and I have nobody." Okay, I don't know what, and we have to say no to these parents until we get a buddy. We can't welcome them into the classrooms until we have a buddy. And it's like, I hate saying no to these parents who I would love to get their children in so that they can see the love of Christ, and I would love for them to be able to go and worship and just allow us to help them. And so we have a waiting list of 8, and I'm walking down the ramp, and there's another family at our welcome desk, and they have a child with Down syndrome. And I literally went, okay, I'm done. I'm raising the white flag. I quit. I can't do this. And I was so discouraged, so discouraged. I said, "Lord, there's this is 9. How can I do this? How can I do this?" And we had one of our staff members that were just walking through, and he looked at me and he goes, "Kristen, remember, the Lord is the one who brings the harvest, and the harvest is plenty, but he will bring the laborers." And so that kind of corrected my attitude a little bit. And I was still discouraged coming into work on Monday. And Tuesday we have our next gen meeting where we get together. And Monday I watched 9 people come in and become buddies for special needs. And it's just a huge reminder that he is the one who brings the laborers. He's the one who brings the harvest, and he's the one that's going to bring the laborers. And so prayer was not my first inclination was to quit because this is too hard. But just like Paul said, you have to struggle through prayer, and I'm glad that we have a staff who comes around and reminds us of those truths. But the Lord brings them. And in 2 weeks I had a waiting list of volunteers for our special needs program. I don't have the waiting list anymore, but I can say I've had a waiting list of volunteers because of the Lord. So, how can we pray through things like this? I know there's a way that I pray, and there's a way that some other people pray. So let's take a look at 2 different ways that people can pray. There's list prayers and there's burden prayers. I am a burden prayer. When the Lord puts something on my heart, that's when I pray. And so if you're a burden prayer, the events in your life guide what you're praying for that day. So recruiting, that was a burden of mine, so I was praying hard for that. If my day is filled with space concerns, we had 75 kids in the kindergarten classroom, I can't fit any more in, what am I going to do? That's what I'm praying for mainly. So I'm not bathing everything in prayer, it's that one thing. So if you fit into this category and you are a burden prayer, pray that the Lord would burden you more and more throughout the day or throughout the week with other burdens that need to be prayed for. Another thing that you could do if you're a burden prayer is make a list of all those burdens so that you have it and so that you can go back and pray through more of those things. I know I get fixated on one thing and I just pray for that one thing, and then I'm not praying for other things throughout the day or throughout the week. So you can make that list and go back to it. Also with a burden prayer, I go through it quickly. Okay, I have this burden, done, going to pray with it, move on. So set some time and use that list and pray through all of those things. And then you have the list people, and I have one of our pastor's wives is an amazing prayer, and she is a list prayer. And I get a text almost every Thursday that said, "Don and I prayed for you today." I'm on their list for Thursday, and that they prayed for me. So if you're a list prayer, put those, put your volunteers on it, put your children on it, put those burdens or that long list of resources and those type of things on that list and pray for them and set it on for certain days. So those are some ways that you can pray through volunteers, recruiting, resources, and all of that. So we just talked about our obstacles. We talked about what hinders us from praying, areas that need prayer, and are you overwhelmed? Because there's so much stuff to pray. But the big reason why I'm here and the heart, my heart that I have for the next generation is prayer for the next generation. We need to be praying for the next generation. So being in the Word daily is what's going to allow our heart to talk with the Lord. So this is meditation on the Word aligns our heart with what God wants. So this allows us to pray to God with truth. Along with meditation, memorization, the fighter verses, is a great way to help you pray for the next generation. So if we want to reach the next generation, we need to be meditating on the Word, and we need to be memorizing the words. As we use the Word to pray, we are praying the truth, which aligns us with the will of God. God's Word is inerrant, never changing, and aligns our heart with His calling for our lives and for the next generation. As we are in His Word, it becomes a path and a light to our feet. It directs our steps, and it helps us push out the obstacles and the obstacles that hinder our hearts from prayer. I know that it's become true in my life. I used to open up the Word and read the Scriptures and just apply it to my life. This is what the Lord spoke to me today. This is what I want to be true in my life. I've been in this position for 3.5 years, so new to it, new to ministry, teacher prior. So I was in a public school, so I never got to use the Scripture with my kids in my classroom. But the Lord, over these 3.5 years, as I open up the Scripture, what He's teaching me is now becoming my vision for the next generation. So I'm not only praying what He's teaching me for myself, I'm praying it for the next generation. So I know that we tend to think what the Lord is doing in our life is too big for our children, for 6-year-olds or for 4-year-olds, but that's a lie. Just like John Piper was saying last night, they're never too young to start speaking the truth to them. And it's never too young to start praying the Word over them. We pray the Word over our babies every Sunday morning. We pray that they would know the Lord. We pray that their hearts would understand the truth, that they would come to know Him at an early age. We have a God who is big, and nothing is impossible for Him. So praying the prayers you're praying for your own life should be the prayers that you're praying for the next generation. So when you're in the Word and allowing it to penetrate your heart, it creates in you a vision that you can seek for the next generation and your ministry. So how can we do this? Meditation on Scripture is the first way that we can do this, that we can pray for the next generation. So as you're reading Scripture and studying the Word of God, ask yourself how this can affect the next generation. So just always have that coming into how it can affect the next generation. So we're going to take a look at Ephesians 2:11 through 16. Look at 11 through 13 only. We see a picture of what we were. But this is also a picture of what our children are. If they don't know the Lord, this is what our children are. And so those words are, they're separated. They're separated from Christ. They are alienated. They're strangers. They have no hope. They're without God. They are far off. So those are the things that our children are. Our children who do not know the Lord, this is who they are. So how do we use Ephesians 2:11 through 13 to pray for our children? So this is where you need to stop when you're meditating on the Word and pray that our hearts, their hearts, would be open to see this. So if they're without hope, if their hope is not in God, what is some of their hopes? If you think of a 3-year-old, they're hoping in Legos. Like, they throw a tantrum because you ask them to pick up their Legos. Their hope is in something other than the Lord. So stop and pray that the Lord would open their eyes in their heart, that they would see that they need to put their hope, that God is the only one that satisfies. So as you're meditating, stop and ask those questions. These children have no hope. Allow that to burden your heart to help you to pray for the next generation. So pray their hearts would be open to hear the truth and find hope in God. Pray they would see that they are alienated, that they will always have no hope without God. While reading the Scripture, a good prayer would be that our children would come to realize that they are separated from the blessings and that they are without hope and that they need Christ. We need to pray that they would see that they need a Savior, that they understand that they're sinners. Then if you look at verses 14 through 16, you have what we are, so what Christ has done for us. We can look at these verses as a way to pray against 11 through 13 for our children. So what they have is peace, they're one, they're a new man, and they're reconciled. So a prayer that you can pray is, for verses 14 through 16 is, Lord, I come and I pray that the next generation would see Jesus as their peace. The one who made us one, broke down the dividing walls, and created us to be a new person in Him. So, that is a way that you can meditate on Scripture and use it to pray through for the next generation. Is it hard for you to look at a Scripture and think to pray for it for children? It is. It's a stumbling block in my mind that they're too young, or this is just for adults. And it's not. These are things that we need to pray for ourselves, that we would fully please Him, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. But to be honest, I came to know the Lord at 18, and I wish, and I pray, I can't pray for it, but I wish that I knew Him at 4 or at 6. Because the younger you are when you believe, the less lies that you have to battle. But we can pray that they would come to know the Lord at an early age, that they would have the spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they would have faith in Christ early, that they would bear fruit when they're fighting with their brother and sister or fighting with somebody at school, that they would bear fruit and that they would be walking worthy of the Lord. So we do. We need to pray against the domain of darkness and that they would hear, that the scales of their eyes would be taken off, and that their ears would be open. Use Scripture and take for the children and put their names into it. Pray that over them during your small group time. Having them hear their name in Scripture is huge. It will open their eyes to see that the Lord cares for them and the Lord loves them. Now we're going to talk about how we can teach the children how to pray. So some practical things that you can do in your small group or at home with your kids. So let's take a look at Psalm 34. I love the Psalms. I use it in a lot of things with children and with adults. I use it in biblical counseling. I use it with my adults. That's mostly some of the homework that I give, is you need to go through the Psalms and look for the characteristics of God. So if adults can do it, children can do it. They just need help. They just need trained. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 34 and how you can use this in your small group. So you guys are now 6 years old, and I'm going to pretend that we're sitting in a Sunday school classroom, and we're going to use Psalm 34 as a way to teach them to pray. So we're going to read through Psalm 34, just verses 1 through 10. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So you want to make sure that they have this in front of them. Encourage them to bring their Bible and read it with you, or print it out so that they can write on it. So you have the Scripture in front of them, and as you read it, you're going to ask them to listen. As you're reading, listen to what the Word says about God. Have them circle it. Have them underline it. Have them highlight it. So what they're looking for is characteristics. So read it through with them, and then when done, ask them to throw some of them up. So the ones that I have highlighted is that He answers, He is a deliverer, He hears, He saves, He is a protector, He is a deliverer, He is good, He is a refuge and he is a provider. So, once you have that list with the kids, have them give examples of how they've seen the Lord be a deliverer. How have they seen that the Lord has answered their prayers and that he has heard them? How has he been a protector to them? Definitely make sure that you have one that you can share. Allowing them to see that you are praying this and that you see the Lord being this in your life is huge for them. It's something that they can, it's a role model that they will encourage them to continue. And then I would also have them, before they leave for the day, pick one that they're going to use to pray through for that week. And so if a child answers that he would be a deliverer or a protector, maybe a child is having some issues at school with kids saying some mean things. And so pray over that child, that one, that the Lord would be a protector. But then remind the child to keep their eyes open for how the Lord will protect him over the week. And then just pray, just remind him to pray through the week. And you're praying for that child throughout the week also, that he would be able to see that the Lord is his protector. And then when he comes back on Sunday, ask him, hey, we all picked one of these characteristics of God. How did you see it come true? And if they haven't seen it come true this week, okay, let's continue to pray. Let's keep praying because the Lord's going to answer. We know that it's true because in Psalm 34 it says he answers. He hears me and he answers. And so reminding them of that is a great way. So you can do this with many other psalms. There's tons of characteristics of God in the psalms. So pick a psalm and just use that as your prayer time. It doesn't have to be prayer requests all the time and things like that. Bring scripture in so that they see that they can use the word and that it's going to come true. So using Psalms is one way. Another way you may be familiar with is the Acts prayer. So adults use the Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And that's easy for adults to pray through. The one I like to use with children is the I love you prayers. And it's basically the same thing as the Acts, but A would be I love you. So why do we love the Lord? C would be, I am sorry. What have you done that you need to ask for forgiveness? T is thank you. And then supplication would be please. So I love you, I am sorry, thank you, and please. So this is an easy way to walk through prayer with your children in your small group and help them to see how to pray to the Lord. I would go week by week. I would do I love you 1 week. Spend some time on it. And then I would do I'm sorry the other week, thank you the next week, and then please another week. So brainstorm with the children why they love the Lord. So I love you, Lord. What are some of the things that he has promised us? These are some questions you can ask them. What has he given you? What does the word tell us about who he is? And as you make that list with your small group, explain to the children that we're going to use them to pray. So just talk with them. Okay, we have this huge list of what the Lord has done. He has protected me. He is good. He is a deliverer. He answers my prayers. We're going to spend some time just saying, I love you, Lord, because. And that's a simple prayer that they can pray. But if they grab it from Scripture, I love you, Lord, because you are a protector, they're praying the truth. So, I love you, Lord, because you are constant. I love you, Lord, because you are my rock. I love you, Lord, because you are good. So, spend some time in prayer just having them just say, I love you, Lord, because. They're glorifying the Lord. They're putting in their hearts who he truly is. And then the next week you can say, I am sorry. But I would, before you go into the I'm sorry prayer, discuss with the children what confession is and why they need to confess. When we sin, it hinders our ability to come to God and to communicate to him. So explain to them that we need to apologize to God because we want to be in communication with him, and our sin pulls us away from that. It's always good to use an example of your life, of how have you asked the Lord for forgiveness. So letting them know that I am sorry because I should not have said this about my friend. I gossiped this week. Lord, will you forgive me? Is always a good thing. Just so make sure that you have an example from your own life. So some of the things that the kids could say would be, I am sorry that I hit my brother. I'm sorry for not picking up my toys. I am sorry for not obeying my mom, or I'm sorry for getting angry. You may want them, so if they say yelling at mom or yelling at my my siblings, always bring the true sin in, anger or gossip when they were talking. So always connect that true sin so that they see that it is a sin that's in the Bible. Because they can say, I yelled at mom, but they're not going to see that in the Word. So help them connect that it's in the Word, that I was angry, and the Lord does not like anger, and so I need to ask for forgiveness for that. So that week, pray through the I'm sorry prayers and encourage those kids to use the I love you and then the I'm sorry. So go through. Okay, we're going to pray now. We've prayed for forgiveness. Let's go through and let's pray. I love you, Lord, because I am sorry for. Then the next one is thank you. So this is the time for the children to thank the Lord for forgiveness, for answered prayers. Discuss how they saw the Lord answer prayers in the past week or from previous prayer requests that they've given you during Sunday school. And just allow them to give thanks to the Lord for who He is and also just for answered prayers. And then put all three of them together again. I love you. I'm sorry. Thank you. And then the last one would be please. So this is the time where they can ask for things. Let them know that we have a God who wants us to ask. We have a God who wants us to come to Him and ask Him for things. So spend some time praying and asking God to provide the requests that the kids have. Sometimes it is that they would heal the dog or that they would find the toy. Put those in because the Lord answers it. So that's the I love you prayers. The last one is use your curriculum. So whatever curriculum you're using, I'm going to use, we use this in second grade, the Promises curriculum. And so use this in your small group or even in your class. So using the curriculum is a huge way to help children in prayer. So an example of this, I was in the second grade classroom observing, and they had just finished worship, and one of the leaders had asked a child to come up and pray. And as you can see on one of the prayers is that the Lord would give you strength. Or the Lord is my strength. God will give you strength. That's one of the promises they learned that year. And in our room we have them. I don't know if you've been up into some of the classrooms. We have the promises on the walls. And so they're up there so they see them always. And so this little girl comes up and she's praying for the class. And all of a sudden you hear her say, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength, that we would listen well and understand what the teacher has to teach us today. She's using these promises as her prayer. So encouraging them to pick one of these or reminding them when they're speaking in the small group saying, you know, the Lord gave me this today. Remind them, God is good to all. Use those prayers and allow them to see that they can use these promises as a prayer. God will forgive you can be another example. You have a child in your small group who shared that he did not love a friend at school well or he disobeyed his parents. Ask the group, what is a promise that we can encourage Johnny with? And the promise would be, God forgave you. God will forgive you. So using these promises can help. And then have somebody pray. Lord, we come and pray that Johnny would remember that you are a God who forgives us of our sins. So this can encourage Johnny that we have a God who's going to forgive him and that there's hope. So using the curriculum is a huge way to help the next generation pray. So as you use these in your small group or teaching time, you will see that the children will start to use scripture in their prayers, that they'll start to use the things that you're teaching them with the I love yous and also the curriculum. And when you start to see that, it's going to bring so much joy to your heart. I know I love hearing children pray the scripture because that's what they're being taught. So if you teach children to pray, they will do it. We need to be role models of this. Just as John Piper was saying last night, if you don't know the Bible, you can't teach it. So if you're not praying, your kids are not going to pray. So you need to be a role model of how to pray. So all of these tools help teach our children about prayer and coming to our God in a way that is honoring Him in using His truth. We also need to help them understand that God always answers. As we are talking about the Lord and using the truths, our children should start to know that God promises to hear our prayers, that He's going to provide what we need, and that God does not withhold any good. But what does this mean when our children are praying for a specific thing and God doesn't answer in the way that they want? I know it's hard for me that I don't get answers. And some of the answers that we can get is no, yes, or wait. So some of the questions that our kids could ask is, does this mean that God isn't listening? Okay. Should I continue to pray? Those are some of the things. So as a leader, your job is to help our children to see that God answers. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a wait. But all of these answers is what's good for them. Our children need to have faith in Him and trust that He is going to answer. So how can we do this? I know you might be saying in your mind, this is impossible, because it's impossible for me sometimes. This comes into my head all the time because I don't grasp that God is going to answer, and what the answer is good for me, even though it's a no. But our children need to understand that no is good. So there's three things that from the book from Martin Lloyd-Jones, From Fear to Faith, Rejoicing in the Lord, he gave three things that you should do with prayer. And I think these are three things that children need to know also. One of them is commit your problem to God. So that's the first thing you need to do. You need to commit your problem to God. We are good at this, and so are our children. We can easily ask God for a lot of things, but do we give them to God? Here we need to teach our children that we need to ask and then let God answer. Continue to pray for the request until He answers, but don't continue to try to make it happen. And our kids and we are good at that. Remind the children that God hears them, that He will answer. It might be a yes, it might be a no, and it might be a wait. So pray for it and let the Lord have it. They should not allow it to continue to be something that they're consumed with. And if you find them with it being consuming to them, remind them, the Lord hears you. The Lord will answer. Number two is expect an answer from God. They need to commit their problem to the Lord, but then they need to expect an answer, because we know in the Word, the Lord says, I will answer. It may be a yes, a no, or a wait, but our God will give an answer that is best for us, because His Word says He will provide for us. He will work all things out for our good. That is His plans. And His plans for the children are good. If the answer is no, we need to be able to accept that answer and understand that this no answer is what is good for us. And then number three is watch and wait. Watch and wait for the answer. Waiting for the answer can be hard, but reminding our children that He promises to answer is where we need to constantly turn them. We have a God who has set the stars in place and knows the end of the story. So helping them know that they need to wait for an answer and reminding them, look, He answered this one, and He answered this one, and He answered this prayer. He's going to answer this prayer, and it's going to be what's best for us. So just reminding them that they can commit their problem to the Lord, that they can expect an answer from the Lord, and that they can wait, that they need to wait and watch. So we need to remind those of ourselves and for our children. So my prayer for you as a leader and volunteers or even parents is that you would know the truth of God, that you would apply it to your life, that your eyes would be open to see His mighty hand at work through prayer, and that you would tell it to the next generation to encourage them in their faith. And then my prayer for the next generation is that they would grow up knowing the truth so that they will not be tossed to and fro when the winds and the storms come in life. We know that the Lord has not promised an easy way for His children. I want our children to know that our God is faithful and that we have a God who can be trusted. So let's teach them that we have a God who listens to them and a God who answers prayer, and that there's a God who wants to know them. So go pray and teach our children how to pray. He is good, and he's a great God.